This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's been a pretty good week for the men in blue.
You can hear the cheers as the final whistle goes at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have beaten Peterborough United by 2-0. Portsmouth have beaten Cheltenham Town by 3-0. And they are through to the third round of the Papa John's Trophy. Portsmouth have been far too good for Ipswich this afternoon and have beaten them by 2-0.
Ryan Williams rounded off a hat-trick of wins for Pompey on Saturday by scoring his first and second goals of the season. He'll be on the show later, talking through his strikes and the mood in the camp ahead of tomorrow's league fixture with Fleetwood.
That whole time with the bus, isn't it? Eight white ages, none come, and then obviously two at a time. But it's good because scored 2 goals, yeah, but we managed to win, and it was a big win at that, so yeah, really pleased.
We'll also hear from an excited Keddie Jacket, who's looking forward to a busy few days.
We want to keep our run going if we can, and if you want to keep pace at the top, you have to be consistent. So for us, we'll be looking forward this week. It's a big week, though. Should enjoy the week, really, with Fleetwood, then Hull. They're big games against really good teams, and something we're looking forward to.
His side are back in action tomorrow night against another expected promotion rival. And this evening, we'd love to hear your thoughts ahead of the match, as well as your score predictions, too. We'd also like to know whether or not you believe Pompey are becoming more enjoyable to watch. And do you think the lack of games in hand the Blues have right now will be beneficial in the long run? You've got between now and 7 to get all of your messages into the panel right here on Express FM. This is the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome along to another instalment of the Football Hour right here on 93.7 Express FM, which is being driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services across the city of Portsmouth and further afield too. On the show tonight, I'll be welcoming in two more Blues fans to talk all things Portsmouth Football Club, in particular a review of Saturday's result up in East Anglia. As ever, we'd love to hear from you, the Pompey fans, back home between now and 7 o'clock. Get in touch by either texting the word EXPRESS, followed by your name and message, to 81400. Email pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. We're going to kick off this Football Hour, however, by taking a trip back to 51 hours ago when Keddie Jacket took his informed blue side to Suffolk to take on the Tractor Boys of Ipswich Town. The gaffer named an unchanged starting 11 from the previous league fixture, that 2-0 victory over Peterborough United at Fratton Park, and included the returning Michael Jacobs amongst the substitutes. Portman Road was the venue, League One was the occasion. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham were your commentators.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The trip to Ipswich today signalling the start of 3 matches in 7 days against clubs who are all aiming to be playing Championship football next season. You sense that by this time next week we'll have a better grasp if Pompey are genuine contenders for the top two. Loose in midfield, Raggett goes with the challenge and just an old-fashioned long clearance, which actually is causing problems for Ipswich, and it's a great header from Harness, and Curtis is in the area and he shoots high and wide, and the best chance of the game goes begging 0-0. Ball into the Oxford, the Ipswich penalty area, and it's put into the back of the net, and it's Ryan Williams. He has got a goal to his name, and it's a fine finish with his left foot straight into the top corner. Ipswich making a mess of clearing a cross, And Portsmouth have broken the deadlock. Ipswich 0, Portsmouth 1.
Lovely ball round the corner from Curtis. Brown to drive into the penalty area, lays it back for Curtis. Naylor arriving wide. You just expect Naylor to score every time he takes a shot on target. Still 1-0. Naylor plays it towards the penalty area. Curtis is underneath it, nodded down. Williams with a chance for another, and he's got it. 2.5 for Ryan Williams. Curtis made it. And Williams, a second with his left foot, firing it past the goalkeeper. The reaction at half-time from the home fans will be very interesting. It's Ipswich Town 0, Portsmouth 2. Brown steps over it. Curtis lifts towards the far post. Marcus wins the head off the bar, looting the penalty area. And Ipswich will clear away. Cornell has completely misjudged that one. He's taken out John Marquis in winning the header. But Marquis could only find the crossbar. And the referee will have to stop play for Marquis to get treatment after a head injury. And it was so close to being 3-0. To the feet of Marquis, edge of the box. Marquis for Curtis to shoot and hit the bar. Great effort from Curtis, behind for a goal kick, inches away from a third for Pompey. It's towards Ragan. Ragan's had a great save, Cornell, and it's still kept in play. No, it wasn't. It had gone behind for a corner kick. The final whistle has gone here at Portman Road. The boos are unmistakable at the final whistle. Portsmouth have been far too good for Ipswich this afternoon and have beaten them by 2-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Yet again, 3 points over promotion rivals at the weekend for the Blues, who move up to third in the table as a result also of other results going somewhat their way too. I'd like to welcome in my two guests for this evening's conversation now. First of all, a big welcome back to Matt Corrick. Matt, a good evening, pal.
Evening, Jake.
Matt, it's great to hear from you again. We've got an extremely positive show coming up tonight, and we'll kickstart it by talking about that win on Saturday, shall we? Pompey, 2-0 winners over Ipswich at Portman Road, and what a result that was.
Yeah, fantastic result. I mean, obviously it was, a team that haven't been such on form in recent times, but you know, it's a hard place to go, and as you stated, they're going to be looking for championship football, so it was just a brilliant result to come away with 3 points.
Yeah, and joining Matt this evening we have Mr. Alex Fletcher. Very good evening to you, Alex.
Evening, Jake.
It's a pleasure as always to have you on the show, Alex. What did you make of the performance on Saturday then?
I think it was near perfect, to be honest with you. I think, to be honest with you, 2-0, I would say, without wanting to sound too arrogant, probably flattered Ipswich, to be honest with you. We had chances, had a couple of shots that hit the woodwork, and generally our attacking play was pretty perfect going forward. We created chances, we looked dangerous, and then subsequently at the back, we didn't seem to have, from my memory, too many shaky moments. We seemed to be solid, we seemed to be compact and organised, so I think, to be honest with you, as an away performance, is exactly what you want to see week in, week out. And if you can harness that, then there's no stopping you.
Yeah. And before we do start to pick up the big positives from the weekend, Matt, and there are many, some news coming up this afternoon that Lee Brown will be on the sidelines for around 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring injury, which he picked up on Saturday. Not ideal, but Cam Pring has shown recently that he is more than capable to fill in when required.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, all we have to talk about really in terms is he's got great ball on him. You know, he's got a great set piece. I don't think he's anywhere near at the moment the completed article, don't get me wrong. I think there is errors in his game, but definitely feel comfortable with him in the side and taking us forward in the form that we're currently on at the moment.
Mm. And just highlights as well, Alex, the importance of Pompey having a strong squad when all fully fit, of course.
Well, exactly, and that's going to be tested really in the next few days, and we've got sort of a real high frequency of games, especially going into that Christmas period. I think, to be honest with you, it is a shame to lose Brown. He is a leader. He is one of the more experienced heads, but like I said, we've got a ready-made replacement in Pring, so and it's his chance, and it's been his position that's had a lot of competition. He's up for grabs, so a short-term injury only increases that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's great to see Michael Jacobs back amongst the on the team sheet on Saturday, Matt, and he came on off from the bench in the second half as well. Again, highlighting the importance of having a fully fit squad, but when you've got attacking prowess in the likes of Ronan Curtis, John Marquis, of course, Marcus Harness, Ryan Williams, of which we'll come on to a little later on, it's going to be a bit difficult for Michael Jacobs to really burst into that starting 11.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, obviously, at the start of the season, Curtis, you know, was having a bit of a slow start, I suppose, in tradition for Curtis. practice, but you know, Jacobs came in and he started to show form just before that injury. We all know what he can do. I think he can bring a lot to the team. And, you know, at the moment, unfortunately for him, Ronan Curtis is just on fire. You know, every week he's performing, he's scoring, he's assisting. And, you know, I don't think you can take him out of the team at the moment.
Yeah, and we saw in the win over Cheltenham on Tuesday night, Alex, some fringe players, some youth players emerging as well, and all of which put in a very good performance at the League Two side. And again, you know, we speak about, you know, squad depth, and these are the players who probably will be called upon in the next few weeks. We've got a very, you know, tough set of fixtures coming up. They're coming thick and fast into the January month as well, you know, early 2021. The likes of, you know, Haji Manoga, Jordi Huwula as well, we expect them to fill in at some point during that period.
Exactly, and I think that's why the Papa John's Trophy game in particular, that one against Cheltenham, was important, because it was against a League Two side, but a team that's doing very well in League Two, and it did show the quality we do have in the depth, and the youth players are often good for the bench. But you look at the likes of Haji Manoga, as you say, and Huwula, and you can even sort of eat someone like Pring, for example, who maybe would have played in one of those games, was now going to come into the first team most likely. It does show the depth, and it is really important that you have those games and you see that, and the players grasp it with both hands. I think in particular Huwula scoring two goals, it's something that you can't really ignore, despite the fact we've got a lot of competition up front.
OK then, we're going to take a few moments now to hear from goal scorer Ryan Williams. Ollie Marsh caught up with Pompey's Australian winger following the full-time whistle in East Anglia, first asking how it felt to finally get off the mark for the campaign.
Yeah, it's awesome. That was saying with the buses, isn't it? Wait ages, none come, and then obviously two at a time. But it's good because scored two goals, yeah, but we managed to win, and it was a big win at that, so yeah, really pleased.
The first one in particular was a fantastic finish into the top corner. He must have been especially happy with that one.
Yeah, definitely, just because of the way it came about. I mean, it was all one, two touch passes, boom, 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 and then obviously John said it, and I managed to finish it off. But that kind of, we've been doing that kind of stuff in training, like in small-sided games and that, you know, one touch and stuff, so yeah, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, it was a lovely team goal. Would you have got a bit of stick if you had missed it?
Yeah, I think so, because I think probably only 10 yards out, right in the middle of the goal. Definitely, yeah.
And you have to say, overall, it was a good performance from everyone on the pitch, from the sort of defence who kept the clean sheet to the attackers who did the business at the other end.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing that we want to do, is keep clean sheets, because the longer you stay in the game, the better, obviously. And like, obviously, back four have done a really, really good job, but I don't really think they had too many chances, which is credit to the back four, but also us in midfield and us up top, kind of thing, you know, because obviously the way we put a press on and stuff like that.
Fans returned to Fratton Park last week. You had to deal with an opposition crowd this week. What was that like?
It's worked in our favour, to be honest with you. I've been to Ipswich before when they've had fans, and can go one of two ways, and today we managed to get the two early goals, which kind of, I suppose, put them on our side a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it says a lot about the mentality of the squad that you're able to use the opposition crowd to your advantage.
Yeah, exactly. We all kind of stuck together. Obviously, no away fans either. We all just stuck together, and we knew if we were to get at them early that we could try and turn the crowd, and we did do that.
What were your feelings as the sort of second half wore on? Because you were really pushing for that third goal and it didn't quite come.
Yeah, we had a couple of good chances early on in the second, ish chances, and then we kind of just made sure that we got the clean sheet in the end. I think we had good kind of spells where we were tucked in behind the ball, but we always looked dangerous on the counter. Yeah, maybe if we could have got the third goal, would have given us a little bit of breathing space. But 2-0 is a gross score, you know. Can obviously one goal and it can completely change. So that kind of, we knew that during the game, so it kind of kept us on edge and kept us pushing forward and keeping them out of our box, really.
You're up to third in the table. How much of a boost is that?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, it's a big, big week for us. And we'll be hoping to do the same on Tuesday for Upton.
Yeah, and is this the type of victory that can sort of spur you on to put a run together?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, points-wise, if we can, obviously, at home, we haven't been amazing. If we can kind of carry on where we were against Peterborough, I think that'll really, really help us.
How much are you looking forward to playing in front of the Fratton Park fans again?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the more the merrier, but even the 2,000 felt like, you know, 8, 9, 10, which was good. It's really good for them to be back in and actually be in there and being able to watch us, and it's equally as good for us.
Ryan Williams there, who scored a brace at the weekend, speaking to Ollie Marsh following the conclusion of that 2-0 victory over the Tractor Boys. Where there's a willow, there's a way, Matt. Ryan Williams further proving his importance to the side at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm a massive fan. He's worked great alone. You know, he brings so much to the team, and really pleased that he's got himself off the mark this weekend.
And we spoke in recent weeks, Alex, about what he brings to the team. Undoubtedly, you know, a hard worker. He's got pace and abundance too, and quite often gets what I would call a pre-assist. Not a player who often gets recognised on the stat sheets. So it's great to see him score, because that's just what he's deserved.
Exactly. And I think he has come in for some criticism, which I think is unfair. He brings a lot to the team. Engie's the obvious one. He's I think when I first saw him play, I said he was one of the fastest players I've ever seen. Or just it seemed that he had that pace going forward. He's very, very sprightly. But I think you are right. You are judged as an attacking player on your numbers. And you look at the other players that have played up front, played 4-4-2. You look at Harness, you look at Curtis, you look at John Marquis. They have... They've scored plenty of goals. They've brought their stats up, their goals and assists. So it is important, I think, to get those numbers, and that'll be a confidence boost to him, and perhaps just sort of settling down a little bit and relaxing, because he has nothing to worry about, because he's a great player in the team. But I think, you know, forward players are self-critical, and I think that'll do him a lot of good.
And Ryan Williams' final product has been criticised in recent weeks, Matt, but he showed on Saturday that he can score, and some great finishes there too. Where on earth has he been hiding those?
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic, especially the little flick. I mean, he must have been really pleased to have finished that one off, to be honest with you. Obviously, there was a lot of great work from Harness as well, ball across, and Marquis, a really clever layoff. So, yeah, it was a really fantastic move. And, yeah, it was, you know, really instinctive of him as well from the second when he nipped in and got ahead of the goalkeeper. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where that came from. I mean, I remember a goal up at Tranmere last year that he's just sort of squeezed in. So, you know, maybe not known for finishing like that, but if he continues, then I'll be happy with that.
And that first goal, Alex, of which, you know, Matt's just mentioned there, we'll take a listen back to now.
Ball into the Ipswich penalty area, and it's put into the back of the net, and it's Ryan Williams. He has got a goal to his name, and it's a fine finish with his left foot straight into the top corner.
We mentioned it was a fantastic finish from the Australian, but it was a really well-worked team move as well, as Matt, you know, again mentioned there. Some nice 1-2 passes, some great little flicks and dummies as well. Just a real good team effort in that one.
Yeah, it was. It was a fantastic, and I said that at the time. I was really, really happy for Ryan Williams to score a goal, but at the same time, it was just sort of about four or five passes, really. And the fact that you had Marquis in the box get into a position where he could have, I mean, I fully expected him to try and take a touch and shoot as you'd expect from a striker, the sort of top scorer and that. But he was selfless enough to then lay it off and see Williams in a better position to finish, and then Williams does the business. So I think that really shows that kind of camaraderie up front, and there is a real connection between that front line at the moment. And I think despite the fact that they're often chopping and changing positions, they always seem to have that same collective idea of what they're going to be able to do. So, and that only breeds confidence, and yeah, it's only going to help us score more goals, of which we've got plenty of this season.
Good evening to Stephen Jerome, who's got in touch on the emails. He says, it was a fantastic performance from Pompey on Saturday, but I thought Ipswich were rather poor, to be honest. I don't recall McGilvery having anything to do in the second half, and for our two goals, their defence seemed to be all over the place. I was expecting a tough game at Portman Road on Saturday, but it turned out to be quite a comfortable win in the end, and I think the Ipswich fans made it very clear what they thought of their team's performance, with loud boos and cries of Lambert out after the final whistle. Ryan Williams had a good game. He worked hard in and around the box, getting into some good areas, and I thought he thoroughly deserved his two goals in the first half. We've been playing really well recently, the only exception being the Blackpool game, but I think we should give Kenny Jackett huge credit for that. He's now got us playing in a formation that really suits the team and gives us more of an attacking threat with two strikers up front. He's done really well to turn it around in recent weeks, so credit where credit's due. I think the week ahead for us now is massive. Looking at the table, if we collect 6 points from the next two games against Fleetwood and Hull, assuming results elsewhere go our way, we could go top of the league by 5 p.m. on Saturday, and that would be fantastic. I feel this week could be a defining moment of our season, says Steve in Southsea. There's still plenty of time for you to get involved with the conversation tonight, Blues fans. Just under 40 minutes of the show remaining. If you don't know the ways to get in touch, it's express followed by your name and message to 81400 on the text. Otherwise, you can send an email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet including @expressfm, or head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/pompeylive. Very shortly, we'll be hearing from manager Kenny Jackett, who looks ahead to the midweek league fixture at home to Fleetwood Town, and the gaffer is hoping to use the Fratton crowd to Pompey's advantage, much like they did against Peterborough last time at PO4.
We put on a good performance as well. It won't happen if you don't put on a good performance. You have to give the crowd something to sing about and get behind you on. And you know, that's our goal now. That's our aim. That's our ambition in terms of looking forward this week, starting with a big game at Fratton Park on Tuesday night for us.
We've got more from the gaffer and more from Matt and Alex too. On the way next, right here on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South, getting you around the city with the minimum of fuss. Download the app today from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. Thank you for choosing Express FM on this bitterly cold Monday night. Wishing you all well, trusting you've had a great weekend. I'm sure that win on Saturday certainly improved it, if not. Would love to hear from you this evening as well, Pompey fans. Whether you've got something you'd love to say on the win over Ipswich, a score prediction for tomorrow night's game, or just want to check in, don't hesitate to get in touch. It's at Express FM if you're on Twitter. Text the word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive or send an email to Pompey@expressfm.com. And that's exactly what Jeff Harris has done on Twitter. A great result on Saturday, but we need to do it again tomorrow if we really are to be promotion contenders. Plus, it will be great to see Barton's face if we beat them. That's Jeff Harris on Twitter. But going back to Saturday's result over Ipswich then, Matt, and just want to highlight as well the kind of poor run of form that Ipswich are on this season. We spoke about on the Friday Football Hour preview of the game that their record against sides who are likely to be, you know, in the mix for promotion this season has been atrocious this season. They've lost every single game, whereas they've only really beating the sides in the bottom half of the table. And that further continued on Saturday. And as a result, the first game back for 2,000 Ipswich fans at Portman Road on Saturday was greeted by, I'd say, a fair few boos, but I'd probably say the overwhelming majority of those 2K supporters were not too impressed with Paul Lambert after the final whistle.
Yeah, I mean, it's really continued from their poor form to the end of last season, really, as well. And they just can't seem to get out of it. I think they're very much lacking in confidence at the moment. And whether that's the team feeling it with Lambert as well, I would probably maybe say so. I mean, we've seen maybe previously as well, you know, in roles that he's been in before, that he's, you know, maybe not got the best out of certain players. And, you know, we've always said, like, last season and this season, that Ipswich were going to be, you know, a strong outfit and definitely up and around. And they just can't seem to do it at the moment. And I read on Twitter one of their fans stated that they feel like they might be in this division for quite a long time, which if they continue the way they're going at the moment, then that will be the case.
Seems to be the case of a fair few teams dropping down into the third tier recently, Alex. You know, we've got our kind of grievances with Sunderland. I think that's a fair thing to say. But, you know, they are, at the end of the day, they are a big club for League One. They've been down here now for a number of seasons. Pompey, of course, you know, OK, we went down to League Two and we are on our way back up now. But Ipswich, like Matt just said there, they're a side who will always be expected to be in and around that top six. But you can't imagine for a few seasons now they're going to be really a force to be truly reckoned with.
No, and it's a tricky division. I think that's why teams like Sunderland have struggled. I think if you talk to the fans, but I think it sort of goes through the clubs as well. They very much underestimate the step down coming into the league. Because yes, as I say, it's a step down, but at the same time, it's the style of football is very different. You've got teams coming up from League Two who, with all due respect, aren't often playing the quickest of football. They're more physical. They're bigger. They're more likely to, you know, sort of play what you could call it as Brexit football, let's say, where it's just sort of hoofed up and all over the place and that kind of thing. And then you've also got other teams that do like to play football, and you've got young managers who are like who are trying to come through. The likes of Joe Barton at Fleetwood is a good example of that. So it is a real mishmash, and it's really, really tricky sometimes to get a grip to, especially if you're used to playing in a different sort of environment. And I think that kind of step down has been underestimated by Sunderland. I think it's been underestimated by Ipswich, and perhaps even we underestimated it coming from the other direction. Yeah. So I think, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, no team has any right to get promoted, no matter how big they are. And I think Ipswich really will struggle if they can't address the slump that goes deeper than just the manager and the players.
And whilst we are on, you know, that sort of subject, I know it's going on off a bit of a tangent, Matt, but looking at the teams who are struggling in the Championship this season, you've got the likes of, obviously, Sheffield Wednesday, who have had their points deduction. Derby County are down there as well, Nottingham Forest. You know, whilst what Alex has been saying is, you know, extremely true, that there's no team's got any given right to be up there at the end of the season unless they put in the effort on the pitch. But you can't help but feel if this isn't a promotion season for Pompey, assuming the likes of, you know, Sunderland don't quite get there again, Ipswich don't quite get there, and we do see the likes of, you know, Derby County, Nottingham Forest, even Sheffield Wednesday drop down. The next season is going to be a pretty tough one, and that's an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, these teams that come down have obviously had experience for many years, potentially, you know, the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Forest. So they're, of course, going to come down and be a strong side. I mean, I fully agree with Alex. It isn't anyone's given right. And this division has been proven to us, you know, it's a difficult division to get out of. And yes, I fully agree. It would be a massive task for us next season to get out of the division with the likes of those teams there. But I also feel like, you know, there's potential for change with us as well. And I think we're still going to be stronger. But yet next year, wherever we are, you know, we're a massive club in this division. And yeah, it's not our right to get out of it. But I think, you know, as you said, we're on our way up, and I think we'll eventually get there. So, albeit, yeah, it's going to be difficult, and we need to capitalise on this season. I just think it's going to be something that's going to be harder next season if those teams are there.
Back to Saturday then, Alex. We'll go to that second goal scored by Ryan Williams just a minute before the added time was added on at the end of the first half. And a little bit fortunate in terms of the way it was kind of built up. It wasn't quite as attractive as the first one, but a goal nonetheless and a great finish.
As Naylor plays it towards the penalty area, Curtis is underneath it, nodded down. Williams with a chance for another, and he's got it! 2.5 for Ryan Williams. Curtis made it, and Williams, a second with his left foot, firing it past the goalkeeper.
The ball was lumped up the top, and it was more of a clearance, I think, from Andy Cannon. But Ronan Curtis done well to leap higher than his marker, and Ryan Williams was in the right place at the right time. And I think he's been taught to kind of aim his shots downwards underneath the goalkeeper, because it's a difficult one for the man between the sticks to deal with when it's hit with such venom at such an awkward angle.
Yeah, exactly. And then, to be honest with you, you don't have to get the ball right in the corner in those situations. You just need to sort of get it on target. And you can see it from that goal. The goalkeeper, he was just completely rooted in. He had no movement either way, because it really can throw a keeper, because you never really know which direction the ball's going to go in. I think, to be honest with you, it wasn't quite as free-flowing as the first goal. But at the same time, we had, at that time, I noticed 3 or 4 players in the box. So when we put the ball into the box, we've always got that opportunity for the knockdown. And if we get that knockdown, you've got the opportunity for players that are lurking about. And Williams, you know, sort of harnessing sort of that inner poacher in many respects, which isn't something maybe you could say about him previously, and scored a fantastic opportunistic style goal. And that's maybe been the change since we've gone to this new system, where we've seen more players operating further forward, and it's just given us those options. So it doesn't necessarily matter if it's a free-flowing goal or a hoof into the box, you've always got that chance.
Yeah. And something myself and Ryan noticed at the game on Saturday, Matt, was in the second half, right from the off, Ipswich have seemed to change up their tactical stance on the game just a little bit, changing from what looked like a 4-1-4-1 formation to either a 4-2-4 or a 4-2-3-1 setup, of which, of course, is more of an attacking one. They really didn't have much to lose. They needed to get back into the game. But from that point onwards, it's got to be said that they still look quite nervy. They didn't really offer much going forward. But a lot of that is actually down to Pompey's defence. Yes, whilst Ipswich, they weren't at the races on Saturday, Pompey were. And I think you've got to give credit to, you know, the likes of Lee Brown, Sean Raggett, Jack Watmore, of course, we praise every week. But, you know, Callum Johnson as well. They worked really well as a back four to keep Ipswich out. And more importantly, secure a third consecutive clean sheet, which is massive.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to continue the trend here and say, you know, that I think having Jack Watmore in the side has certainly steadied the ship massively. I think Raggett plays better under Watmore as well. He looks a lot more calmer next to him. And I mean, Johnson's had a couple of mixed bags recently, but I mean, he seems to be coming on really well. His performance at Ipswich on the weekend was absolutely brilliant. You know, I couldn't fault him all game, really. And Lee Brown, you know, he's always, as far as I'm concerned, been a steady head for us and an experienced head, and you know he brings that to the team, and you know the likes of Sean Raggett, who sometimes, you know, need that guidance, and obviously, you know, as you stated earlier, he's out, so we're going to miss that a bit. But you know, even with the second sort of string player, shall we say, like Campering, you know, they can come in and bring strength even more. So, you know, it's been a massive improvement, and I can't really fault it at the moment.
Congratulations as well, by the way, to both Sean Raggett and Ryan Williams, who both made the Skybet League One Team of the Week. Undoubtedly, really, wasn't it? It was never in doubt. But Sean Raggett and Ryan Williams into the Team of the Week. A text here from Mike in Emsworth. He says, I know I'm biased, but it seemed to me that the 2000 Ipswich fans were nowhere near as loud as our 2000 Pompey fans, even before the game started. Good to know that our support is still among the best in the country. Mike at Emsworth there, absolutely spot on. Much like Mike there, you can get in touch with us if you'd like to pop up with a message of your own for the panel this evening. You can. It's 81400 on the text, starting with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails. It's at expressfm on Twitter and on Facebook. Facebook.com/Pompey Live is where to find us. OK, then, I think it's time now to move on and look ahead to Pompey's next match, which is, of course, at home to Fleetwood Town tomorrow night. Manager Kenny Jackett has been speaking to the Pompey media team ahead of his clash and was first asked what he needs to do to ensure the Blues get a result out of the game.
Yeah, two sides chasing the top places by the end of the season, and as we have been for the last couple of seasons, and both good teams as well. Recruited well, Fleetwood, and a lot of respect for what they do and, you know, what they've achieved over the last couple of seasons. So similarly, we want to keep our run going if we can, and if you want to keep pace at the top, you have to be consistent. So for us, we'll be looking forward this week. It's a big week, though. Should enjoy the week, really, with Fleetwood then Hull. They're big games against really good teams, and something we're looking forward to.
With Fleetwood, you played each other three times last season in League and Cup. Is it a side that you feel you know well?
Yeah, and you get to know everybody very well, particularly if you've been in the same league for a couple of seasons. And as you say, you know, throwing an FA Cup game as well, and it can get, you know, pretty familiar both ways. But even so, it is about maximising your own team. We have to maximise the players that we have, get the best out of them, get the best out of them on a consistent basis. We can do that, and the crowd made a big difference. I felt we were excellent in the Peterborough game last Saturday. And what we have to do, we have to put on a performance and give them something to shout about and get behind us. And if we do that, then, you know, we know they'll respond well.
Yeah, you mentioned enjoying the week. Does that make it something that you look forward to even more, having the fans back and knowing that you're going to have that backing?
Yeah, it is, and it's made a big difference against Peterborough. But similarly, we put on a good performance as well. It won't happen if you don't put on a good performance. You have to give the crowd something to sing about and get behind you on. And, you know, that's our goal now. That's our aim. That's our ambition in terms of looking forward this week, starting with, you know, a big game at Fratton Park on Tuesday night for us.
Joey Barton, he has goal scorers in his ranks, but you always mention zeros and ones, and you've had that over the past five or six games now.
Yeah, it's, you know, need a plan out of possession, you need a plan in possession, and you know, one isn't more important than the other. You need to be a good team, a successful side towards the top end of the division. You need both, and like you say, for us, we've had, you know, quite a settled side. And that has helped us defensively. You know, in certain situations, we've been able to, you know, work on our understanding, get some details right. Not stop everything, because you can't stop everything, but reduce the goals then, reduce the easy goals against you.
If any incentive was needed, you could go top of the league with a win if results go your way. Is that something that will be on yours and the players' minds at all?
You always want to be looking at points total. You know, we're on 31, you know, how many can we get to before the turn of the year? And yeah, that's important. And for the sides that go up, they will need a good points total, and that's very important. So it's more for me, up until the last 10 games, I look at points total, and then it does come down to placings maybe, and you're looking directly at opponents at that stage. But, you know, we're not at that stage, and we're nowhere near it at the moment. And our own form, our own consistency, picking up points on a regular basis is more important for me.
Kenny Jackett there with his look ahead to tomorrow night's floodlit fixture at Fratton, where the Blues play host to Fleetwood Town. And that's the direction the three of us here will be heading into right after the break. So don't go anywhere and join us again in just a few moments' time. The conclusion of this Monday Night Football Hour is coming right up here on the only radio station that is proud to be passionately Pompey, 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome for the third and final time this evening to the Football Hour, brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Visit stagecoachbus.com to find the latest COVID-related guidelines, and please remember that the application of a face covering is mandatory throughout your journey. Up next for Pompey in League One is the visit of Fleetwood Town to Fratton Park. And before we go any further into our build-up of tomorrow night's game, we're going to leave you in the hands of Mason Jordan, who takes you through a closer inspection of the opponents, led by former Manchester City and Newcastle midfielder Joey Barton.
Fratton Park football returns this week, and the Blues go into this floodlit fixture brimming with confidence. Saturday's victory at Ipswich has been swiftly followed up by another game against an expected promotion rival. This time is the turn of Fleetwood Town to draw battle with the Blues.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Ryan Williams was at the double at the weekend to secure Pompey a third win in a row, whilst the defence also stood up to achieve a third consecutive clean sheet. As a result, Kenny Jackett's side occupied by third place in the league standings. A win at home this week could send them to top, but only if results elsewhere go in their favour. It's time now to take a closer look at Fleetwood Town, also known as the Fishermen.
Manager.
Former Premier League bad boy Joey Barton remains in charge of Fleetwood Town, with whom he signed his first managerial contract with back in the summer of 2018. The now 38-year-old, who is known as a strong, no-nonsense top-flight midfielder, was released by Burnley in May 2017 following an 18-month playing ban being handed to him in the month prior. Barton never shielded away from controversy during his 15-year-long playing career, within which he featured for the likes of Newcastle United, Manchester City and Queen's Park Rangers. That reputation followed him into his first season in management. He was alleged to have assaulted then Barnsley gaffer Daniel Stenden in the Oakwell Tunnel following Fleetwood's 4-2 defeat in April 2019. Since linking up with Fleetwood over 2 years ago, Barton has taken charge of 125 competitive matches, winning 51, drawing 33 and losing 41.
One to watch.
Veteran forward Paddy Madden has once again been causing problems for League One defences this season. The 30-year-old Irishman joined the club in 2018, having previously spent 4 years at Scunthorpe United, where he netted 52 times in 167 games. Madden has played for Football League outfits Carlisle United, Yeovil Town and the aforementioned Scunthorpe, starting his professional career in the League of Ireland at the Bohemians in 2008. He also made one-off appearance at the Republic of Ireland senior side in 2013. So far this season, Paddy Madden has 5 league goals to his name, as well as 2 assists.
Top scorer.
Reported Pompey target Callum Camps is the Fishermen's leading scorer in the division, with 8 strikes to date. The 25-year-old midfielder made the switch to the Flyed Coast from Rochdale in the summer, having apparently been on the radar of Portsmouth and a handful of championship clubs. Camps is just 1 goal behind John Marquis in the League One rankings, though hasn't netted since November the 21st, when he bagged a brace in the 5-1 win over Plymouth Argyle.
Current form.
Joey Barton's side are currently residing in 9th in the league, having acquired 26 points from their opening 17 games, though Accrington Stanley are level on points with 3 games in hand, currently placed 1 below Fleetwood. Their league form has been somewhat mixed mixed of late, returning 3 wins, a draw and 3 defeats from their previous 7 matches leading up to this matchup at PO4. Pompey plays out a 2-2 draw with Fleetwood the last time these two sides met, with Sean Raggett netting at Fratton Park before Harry Soutar put the ball into the back of his own net in the final regular game of last season, just days before the league was suspended due to the implementation of the first national lockdown. Can the Blues make it 4 wins from 4? Find out all the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Our very own breakfast presenter, producer, a man with many strings to his bow, Mason Jordan, with an in-depth preview of tomorrow night's opposition, Fleetwood Town. Okay then, Fleetwood then. Matt, 9th in the table, but still a side we expect to be challenging at least with the playoffs this season.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, they were obviously in the playoffs last season and lost out. You know, they've strong side, some really good players in the team, as just mentioned. You know, the likes of Madden, indeed, and Camps as well. Obviously, 8 goals behind Mark Reese. He's a very good player, proven as well in the league. So, yeah, we obviously need to be on our guard. I sort of feel maybe at home we might have the edge. I'm not too sure what their away record's like really this season, but, you know, I think... home advantage and the fans there, I think we can get a result.
Yeah, and Paddy Madden, as Mason mentioned, Alex, a player the Blues will need to keep an eye on tomorrow, but who else do you think will cause us problems?
It's tricky to tell, and I must admit that the depth of Fleetwood squad is not in my greatest bout of knowledge, but one thing I would say is that whenever they've come down to Fratton Park, they've always tried to play sort of proper football. It's always been fast. It has been typically aggressive, as you'd expect with a Joey Barton team. I mean, Madden's the standout, but it really, it's just about being secure at the back. I mean, that's all it comes down to. If you're secure, you can have anybody playing up front, and that, as long as you can nullify that threat, is important. I think we're the side in the ascendancy, and we should be the ones that should be taking the game to them, to be honest with you.
And we've had clean sheets in the last 3 fixtures, Matt, okay, albeit one of them was an EFL Trophy game at Cheltenham Town, but, you know, to come away from games against Peterborough United, Ipswich Town as well, and not concede is a fantastic feat for any club in this division. But Fleetwood tomorrow, can you expect something a little bit different? You expecting, and, you know, as you mentioned a few moments ago, that, you know, they are a tough side, and they probably will come at Pompey quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, of course, as I said, you know, we need to be on our guard, and we really need to have another defensive performance like we did on the weekend, and of course at home to Peterborough. But, you know, with speaking about them, they breathe confidence into a side, and you can just see that at the moment. Everyone's fighting for each other, and, you know, there's such a strong ethic in the team. Players dropping back when needed as well. You know, Naylor is just been absolutely fantastic this season, faultless as well. And if we can get hold of the midfield, you know, I really feel like we can get the edge and you know, win this game, maybe even 2-0 quite comfortably.
Yeah, and you asked about Fleetwood's away record this season, Matt. They've played 8, they've won 3, drawn 0, but lost 5. They scored 11 and conceded 10. They are 15th in the away table of the 24 teams in this division. Pompey, of course, are second in that table, 2 points behind Hull. Home form this season, I know we spoke about Pompey, how, you know, it didn't pick up on the right foot as we expected, but up to 10th in the standings now, slowly creeping up the table in regards to home form. So it is a bit of a mixed bag, Matt. You know, Fleetwood and Pompey both really mid-table in terms of home and away form. So kind of further emphasising that this may be a tight game.
Oh, of course, yeah. I think everybody's expecting a really, really tight game. You know, we all know, you know, Fleetwood are going to come down and be physical. They're going to probably be more than happy to take a point away. So, you know, it's going to be down to us. And if we can play the fast, free-flowing football that we were showing at Ipswich on the weekend, then, you know, hopefully we can break them down and maybe get a goal early. To set the tone of the game. But I think, you know, it's going to be really, really tough, and we need to start, as I said, really quickly, I think.
Yeah. Mockers has got in touch on Twitter. By the way, a huge thank you to Mockers, by the way, for travelling up to Cheltenham on Tuesday night to watch the EFL Trophy win at Wadham Road. And he delivered myself and Liam some lovely cakes, and they were absolutely delicious, Mockers. So thank you for that, by the way. He's got in touch this evening saying, I think it's time for more than 2,000 fans to be allowed into the bigger stadiums now. For example, about 5,000 into Fratton Park, in my opinion. He then goes on to say that if Jack stays fit, we go up this season, and it's time for Haji Minoga to start again. Carl Parry, also on Twitter, he says, can I ask, and sorry to be a downer, don't need to apologise, Carl, but did we play a bad Ipswich and Peterborough, and that's why we won those games? Because whenever a team has played well, we've fallen apart, i.e. Charlton and Blackpool. Got to throw that one over to you, Alex, because, you know, whilst we do sit here and we do, you know, pick up the positives from the last few games, and they have been fantastic victories, you can't help but really, well, you can see where Carl's coming from, that both Ipswich and Peterborough were going for a bit of a tricky spell.
Possibly, but I mean, you can look at Peterborough and say that we beat them 2-0 at Fratton Park, and then they went and scored four goals in the first half. If their game against Rochdale, Jonathan Clark-Harris, I think, scored within a hat-trick within something like 20 minutes, and we completely nullified him as a striker, and he barely had any of the ball when he came to Fratton Park. But I understand that the perspective on that, but I think really you can only beat what's in front of you, and it is about the manner of victory as well. In both of those games, we controlled, and we perhaps not in Peterborough, but certainly in the Ipswich game, we could have scored more goals, and we did make them look like a team that weren't in form. It wasn't necessarily just their performance, it was also ours. So I think I understand the sense of realism, but I mean, you've got a team like Fleetwood who not particularly sure on their general form. As you can say, their away form is quite poor. It's just about taking advantage of that, and I think we've done that brilliantly in the last two games. And then the big test will be top of the table Hull on Friday. That's the well, maybe not top of the table by that point, but you'd expect them to be.
Pompey could be top at that point. You know, we've just heard from Carl on Twitter there, and from what Alex has been saying about, you know, Peterborough then bouncing back the week after we beat them. They scored four in the first half against Rochdale. We followed up a defeat at Blackpool by beating Peterborough. So it kind of emphasises the importance of bouncing back in this division.
Yeah, of course it does. You know, it obviously then follows on with consistency, but to show the bounce back ability, shall we say, you know, it's a team confidence thing, you know. It shows that, you know, I think there was a lot of occasions last season where, you know, we were having consistent, you know, losses, you know, and maybe over the last couple of seasons that's been quite a trend with us. You know, we've had some really bad spells, but, you know, we seem to be bouncing back a lot this season, and, you know, I think that shows in the team and the spirit that we've had between the players all season.
Yeah, and just quickly before we do move on, do you think that a lack of games in hand that Pompey have got up to this stage, of course, we are lucky to have not had any postponed up until this stage, but do you think that might benefit Pompey in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, of course, in the sense that, you know, we'll be better rested. Obviously, you know, that it comes back round as well, Jake, as you said earlier. I think, you know, we seem to have more depth in the squad this season, and obviously that's going to be beneficial to us as well, but it will definitely you know, bring us, I think, in better stead against teams that are having to play more games closer together.
By the way, just a quick mention as well to Havant towards Louisville. They were also victorious at the weekend. A 36-minute opener from defender Craig Robson was followed by a goal either side of the break from Tommy Wright, earning the Hawks all 3 points against Ebbsfleet United at Stonebridge Road. Up next for Paul Doswell's side is a break from league action. There's an FA Trophy tie away to Bracknell Town to play tomorrow night. A place in round three is the prize on offer at Larges Lane. The Pompey women ran out 4-1 winners over MK Dons yesterday to move up to third in the Women's National League. Bethy Bath scored a hat-trick and Tasmin de Bunsen netted in the 85th minute to seal the win. Up next for Jay Sadler's side is a trip to Cardiff. That's a 2 o'clock kick-off this coming Sunday. And finally, a word on the United Services of Portsmouth, who reached the third round of the FA Trophy for the first time in their history, following a 2-1 win over Brock on Saturday afternoon. And Glenn Turnbull's side will play host to Cornish outfit Millbrook in round three. Right, we've got some score predictions coming through to us on Facebook now ahead of Pompey versus Fleetwood Town tomorrow night. Alan Snelling's going for a 3-0 win. Kevin Quinlan's going for a comfortable 14-0 win. Player Pompey says Kevin on Facebook. Pat Orm's going for a 3-1 Pompey victory. John Mumford says 2-1. Steve Oxenham's going for a 3-0 Pompey win. And Paul O'Neill says, but if we play like we have the last few games, I'm expecting a 3-1 win. So we just heard the score predictions coming in from back home, but what about the guys joining me over the phone this evening? We'll start off with you very quickly, Matt.
I'm going to go for a 2-0, Jake. I think, as I said, if we can start off quickly and get that goal, I think we can eventually break them down and get a second.
So Matt's going for a 2-0. How about you, Alex Fletcher?
Well, I think 14-0 is quite conservative, actually. I think it's fairly... But in all seriousness, I think we are looking at something, perhaps a 2-0, perhaps a 3-1. You need that two-goal margin. As fans, we hope we get it. And I'll say 3-1.
And I'm going to go for 3-2, Pompey. Lads, a big thanks to both of you for joining me this evening. So, the Blues again returning to league action. They're back at Fratton Park after consecutive away matches. Fleetwood will be travelling down from the Fylde Coast for match day number 18. And all of the unmissable action is right here.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Fourth with a found away yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues delivered once again at Portman Road. Ryan Williams bagged all two goals last time out, gifting Pompey all 3 points, pushing them into third place. Up next, Pompey play host to Fleetwood Town. Join us for all of the unmissable action Tuesday night from 7. It's Pompey versus Fleetwood, and all the action will be right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Do join us, and if the last few games will be anything to go by, then we should be in for another treat. Unfortunately, that's it from us tonight, but I'll be back with Liam Howes and Ryan Steelworth for full coverage of that league clash with Fleetwood from 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. That's 24 hours from now. And just a note for your diaries, the Blues are travelling to Hull City to take on the current league leaders on Friday night. That game has been brought forward a day to 5:30 kickoff at the KCOM Stadium, and the Pompey Live team will be bringing you all of the action from 4:30. As a result, the next edition of the Football Hour is also coming up a day earlier than scheduled. And I'll be joined by two more Pompey fans to preview that game from 6 o'clock on Thursday evening. Before all of that, however, we've got a whole host of brilliant shows coming up here on Express FM. Liam is back from 9 o'clock this evening with the greatest timeless classic to help you unwind on this Monday evening. Mason Jordan is back with Portsmouth Breakfast tomorrow from 7. Darren Gablin has more great songs and, of course, more moaning between 10 and 1. Ian James returns from 1 through till 4, and then the brilliant Conor Mosley presents Drive Time up until 6, before Mason returns with another instalment of the local music show. Jeff and Adrian are up next with the Soft Rock Show, where they'll be looking back at musical events from this week in history, including U2, Paul McCartney and the Pogues. But until next time, Blues fans, have a great evening, enjoy the rest of your week, and of course, stay safe out there. Play up Pompey, and good night.